Then the Buddha also talked about one of the basic practices you do at the beginning are to guard the sense doors. Okay? So our sense doors are our eyes, ears, nose, tongues, body, and mind. Because these are the doors by which we, you know, get to know the world, and we receive so many impressions from different things. So going back to the Sutra of the Homeless Light. So here the Buddha is asking a rhetorical question addressing Ajatasattu. And how, Sayuri, is he a guardian of the sense doors? Here a monastic, on seeing a visible object with the eye, does not grasp at its major signs or secondary characteristics. Because greed and sorrow, evil, unskilled states, would overwhelm him if he dwelt leaving this eye faculty unguarded. So he practices guarding it. He protects the eye faculty, develops restraint of the eye faculty. And then the Buddha goes on with each subsequent one. Okay, so if we do it with the ear, it would say, hear a monastic on hearing an audible object with the ear, does not grasp at its major signs or secondary characteristics. Because greed and sorrow, evil unskilled states, would overwhelm him if he dwelt leaving this ear faculty unguarded. So he practices guarding it. He protects the ear faculty, develops restraint of the ear faculty. Okay, and then it goes on with, you know, the smell faculty, the taste faculty, the tactile faculty, and then the mental faculty. Okay, so what this means, this whole thing of restraining the sense doors or guarding the sense doors, it doesn't mean we shut down and we walk around like this, and we're afraid to look anything, and we're afraid to smell anything, we're afraid to do anything, you know. It's not like that, okay? That's not guarding the sense doors, because in actual fact, when we're like that with ourselves, we're really paying a lot of attention to what's going on with the sense doors and the objects of them. But what it means is, for example, you know, if you're going in a city, you know, tomorrow night we're going to be going to Spokane for the talk, or some people will be riding the bus somewhere, you know, going riding place. What do we do in a city? Are we looking around here and there, looking at this and that, looking at, you know, reading all the billboards on the side of the road, looking at all the storefronts and what's in them, looking at all the people around? Because if we leave our eye faculty unguarded and we're always just letting the eyes look around at whatever is around, then our mind, you know, attachment arises because we see pleasant things. Yeah, hostility arises because we see unpleasant things. Our mind gets confused because we see so many things and we have too much sense stimulation. Yeah, so when we don't guard the eye faculty and we just let it kind of roam around looking at everything, then, you know, a lot of attachment and hostility come up. You know, because our mind just, you know, sees something and then instantly, I like it, I don't like it. I like it, I want it, how can I can get it? I don't like it, I don't want it. Why would some other idiot want this? You know, and on, and then the mind is, you know, it's just taken away. So the same thing about the ear faculty, to be careful what we listen to. You know, the ear is harder because you can't walk around like this, you know. But what do we pay attention to with our ears? Are we always wanting to hear music? Do we go in a store and we just tune into the music that we hear? And you know how it is, you're someplace and they start playing songs from years ago, and then you start thinking of what you were doing at that earlier time in your life and where you heard those songs and all the people you knew. It brings up all these emotional things and all this nostalgia, and then the mind's off, isn't it? You know, just because you heard the Beach Boys, or, you know, I don't know what you guys listen to. What do you listen to? If you don't listen, you know, you're falling asleep. But, you know, whatever it is, So it just, the mind just starts making up these stories about these songs that you heard. Okay? Or similarly, with your smell sense organ, your nose, and, you're all the time walking around sniffing this and sniffing that and, wanting to have good smells. And you go somewhere, you go into the grocery store to get something. And, they have all these tables of foods where they let you go and sample stuff. So you're smelling everything. Or you walk past the deli, and, roast chicken. I'm a vegetarian. A fresh bread. Want that. And so it just the senses get stirred up, and then you come out with all this food that you didn't plan on buying. Yeah. And the same thing when your taste organ, you leave that unrestrained, Same thing, you go in the grocery market and they're giving you, free tastes and samples or it's just totally unrestrained. Or, you can see, you're driving down the street and you see 31 flavors. So the eye organ's unrestrained. Oh, 31 flavors, better pull in. Okay, you pull in. And then, there's more than 31 flavors. Which one do I want? And so then, of course, they give you, the little bits of each one, and you taste each one, and you come out with, $20 worth of ice cream. And then you say, I really can't go to the Dharma class because I don't have enough money to offer as Donna. Because you just spent all your money on ice cream. But, so this is a result of the sense doors, not being guarded, And getting involved in sex, that's the big thing that's happened when sense doors are unguarded. You see somebody, quite good looking, want to talk to them. Then you're listening to them. Such a nice voice. Even if they have a horrible voice, if you think they're good looking all of a sudden, nice voice. Yeah. Then your mind is, and then pretty soon there you are in bed. Okay? So it happens all the time, doesn't it? Unrestrained for sense doors, Or, you're watching television. Yeah? And you're watching television, you see people kissing on television, then all of a sudden your body starts going, whoa, boy, I would certainly like to have somebody kiss me, and your body starts working, your hormones start going overtime, and there you are getting aroused, okay? And that's just because you kind of, sat down to watch TV for a few minutes with somebody else, yeah? So there's all these things, you just kind of watch like where you let your senses go to and then where that leads you, kind of in terms of your involvement, in terms of what you're doing and then what you're thinking about and what's popping in your mind and having a lot of desire and wanting and craving or, you go out somewhere and you see all these things you don't like and then you get so angry and you get depressed and you get really hostile and, and negative, bad mood. And it's, so much of it is because of unrestrained sense doors. Yeah. Or your mental sense door. Some idea pops in the mind and you sit there and ruminate on it. Nance left this morning and she didn't smile at me before she left. I wonder if that means that this whole 3 weeks she hasn't really liked me. And, everywhere I go people don't like me and they never tell me about it. And that's why I always feel excluded and I really wish people would be honest and open with me. And then you just sit and ruminate about some stupid thing that she probably may not have even happened, but our mind just makes up some kind of story about something. So that's an unguarded mental door. Of, letting a thought in and then letting the mind just sit there and go like this around that ridiculous thought. Yeah. And I think a lot, one of my theories, I think that one reason people get so tired, especially now, is we have too much sensory input. Yeah. And using your senses all the time is exhausting. Yeah, and trying to keep up with the pace, like we were talking about, you know, the television and how they change the images so quickly, I think that, you know, has the effect of actually making your mind quite exhausted, because it's always trying to catch up and be aware of what that is, and yet it's gone before you can catch it, and then at the end of the day, you're just wiped out, you know. Or, for example, if you talk too much, if you spend all day talking and chatting, hanging out and talking about this and talking about that, it takes so much energy to talk, and then at the end of the day, you're just wiped out because talking is exhausting, you know, and listening to, you know, people talk about, you know, TV shows and the sports things and their problems and their, you know, what you were saying, this and that, and you know, and then you're just exhausted by the end of it. Okay, so it's restraining the sense doors is really quite important, you know. And if we do that, then it actually helps us keep better morality, better ethical conduct, because our mind doesn't spin out so much about, you know, all the sense objects, what we're hearing and seeing and smelling and tasting and feeling and, you know, all of that. And it helps, like, without letting the mind being distracted to the senses, it helps you keep your energy kind of firmer inside. So when you sit down to meditate, it's much easier to concentrate, okay? Because your mind isn't going every which way according to whatever sense stimuli you had. Okay, so that's the practice of sense restraint. And that's really an important one. And that can involve breaking so many old habits. And I think, you know, the discussion that we had just now about internet and about email. I mean, how you get a barrage of emails and where does that take your mind? Yeah?
I have 1,200 emails in my bulk folder.
Uh-huh.
Like that trash.
Yeah.
1,200.
Yeah. And then you're afraid that there's one valuable one in there, so you have to look at each one. And then in the time you're looking at each one, how much time goes by? And the words you're reading and the headlines of all of those, mama mia, you know, what does that make you think about? Okay? And, you know, so you can see, you know, sometimes just, you know, if you have a TV and you're surfing the internet and you're writing to 10 godzillion friends and hearing all of their news and then you're thinking about what's happening with all of them, then what does that do to your concentration and your focus, you know? Your mind's just like all over the place, you know? And especially because so many, you know, people in different countries and this one has this problem and this one has that problem and you can't help any of them, actually, you know. And, yeah, people are so funny. You teach and teach and teach. And then when they have a problem, they write and say, what do I do? Yeah? And if they had thought about any of the teachings that they had received, they would have known what to do. But the thing was, they haven't thought about the teachings they received. So then when there's a problem, they just go, ah! You know? All the time. Okay? So it's not to say, you know, I mean, sometimes, of course, we have problems where we really need advice. But, you know, things about, you know, somebody dies. What do I do when somebody dies? You know, we've all heard teachings on that, haven't we? Maybe you haven't. I don't know, but I've heard it, you know. So it's like, okay, somebody's dying. What do I need to do? This is what I need to do. I don't need to write 10 emails to all my teachers, you know. Kind of, you know the basic things that you need to do when somebody's dying. You know, there might be a specific case or somebody might need a specific thing, but, you know, you kind of know generally what to do. Okay, so anyway, just keeping the sense doors restrained. Same way, you know, if we read the newspaper a lot, yeah. I mean, I really saw this, and I really see, like, because I get the New York Times headlines, you know. And I'm one way, I feel like I should read them so I should know what's going on in the world. So when I give Dharma talks, I can bring it in. But I also notice that when I read it, my mind is ruffled afterwards. Yeah? You read the newspaper, the mind's ruffled afterwards. Yeah. So then the thing is, well, how do you know something about what's going on? So you can bring it into a Dharma talk, but without sitting there and letting your mind get so distracted and ruffled up and waste so much time. Yeah. I talked to one man when I lived in Missouri, and it was so difficult for him to go on a weekend retreat because he felt like he had to know what was going on in Iraq. You know, it's like he couldn't go to the retreat center for 2 days and not listen to the news. Yeah? So, I mean, that's completely, you know, sense doors totally uncontrolled. Yeah. But all this stuff is so addicting. I mean, they really keep us addicted to it. Yeah, and especially when there's series of something, you know, some TV show that they show every week. You watch it once, then, oh, I wonder what the next episode is. Yeah, or cartoon strips. You know, the amount of time people spend reading cartoon strips in the newspaper, or reading billboards. Have you ever noticed, you know, in a city how the eye is just always looking at billboards and what that means, or even Dharma magazines. You read Dharma magazines. It's the same old thing. It's always young, sexy men and women practicing Dharma. Have you ever noticed that? Yeah? They don't look very much like Dharma practitioners. They look like models, you know, but always young, very sexy looking people wearing the latest meditation shawl, using the latest meditation bench, you know, with you know, all these things for matching Dharma singles, you know. There's online Dharma things where you can go and, you know, meet the person. So you can have Buddha and Prince Charming at the same time. Wow, you know, some matchmaking on Dharma scenes. That I've recently noticed when I was just looking, because I looked to see like what's happening in Buddhism in America, and there are so many financial consultants now advertising in Dharma magazines, you know. And one of them, the ad is, you know, with one of the Buddha statues, and his hand is out like this, you know, for financial consulting. You know, so even with those kinds of things, you know, you're looking at, or how they even advertise Dharma events nowadays, you know, and everything's so glitzy in this comfy Dharma center and these very attractive people and, you know, teacher with a big smile, you know, I don't know. Anyway, I got distracted. Okay, so the Buddha is saying here, you know, he develops restraint of the various faculties. He experiences within himself the blameless bliss that comes from maintaining this Aryan guarding of the faculties. In this way, Sayura Monastic is the guardian of the sense doors. And how Sayura is a monastic accomplished in mindfulness and clear awareness? Okay, there's these two mental factors, mindfulness, and the Tibetans translate it as introspective alertness or as vigilance. The Theravadas translate it as clear comprehension. Okay, interesting, they're quite different translations. But mindfulness is generally, you know, holding in mind either your meditation object, if you're meditating, or holding in mind your precepts, you know, and the way that you want to act. And then clear comprehension is being aware of what's going on in your mind, let's say if you're meditating, so that you can apply an antidote if you get distracted, or in your daily life, being aware of what's going on and being able to steer your mind towards, you know, an understanding and keeping your mind in line. OK, Okay, so Hellsire is a monastic accomplished in mindfulness and clear awareness. Here a monastic acts with clear awareness in going back and forth, in looking ahead or behind, in bending and stretching, in wearing his outer and inner robe and carrying his bowl, in eating, drinking, chewing, and swallowing, in evacuating and urinating, in walking, standing, sitting, lying down, in waking, in speaking, and in keeping silent, he acts with clear awareness. In this way, a monastic is accomplished in mindfulness and clear awareness. Okay. I don't know about you, but that gives me such a good visualization, you know? Thinking of going through your day with just mindfulness and clear awareness in every action that you're doing, so that you're really aware of what you're doing and why you're doing it, and making sure it's an ethical thing, and you're aware, guarding your sense doors and doing it with a good motivation, and your actions are really gentle and refined and kind of doing what you need to do and not doing what you don't need to do. Yeah? And that's like such an incredible practice. And I think when you live in a monastic environment with other people who are trying to act like that, then it rubs off on you. You know, when you're living in an environment where everybody's acting every which old way and talking all the time and waving their arms and dancing and singing and, you know, hopscotch and shouting across the yard and, you know, twirling this and spinning that and doing cartwheels, you know, then your mind just does that too, doesn't it? You know, but when you're around people who are really acting, you know, in a mindful way with a clear awareness, then you pick up on it and go, oh, I want to act like that too. And that's what Jan, when she talks about the Chinese coming and why, you know, she's determined that, what did you call it, like the minimum, the critical mass is four monastics, okay? Because when you have four monastics together, then four people are doing that. And it creates a certain energy so that everybody who's in that environment, if you're tuned in at all, you pick up on that. And you want to act in that same way. When it's just one or two, you know, it's much harder. Yeah, but when you have a group, and I think that's really the beauty of staying in a monastic community, when you have people who are all really trying to do that, then it makes us want to do that too. Yeah, and I know when I go to these monastic conferences, and that's what, you know, you picked on so much, up on so much at last year's monastic conference, when you're with a whole group of people who are trying to do that, then automatically you want to act like them. Yeah. And so it's kind of like everybody, nobody in that group is completely perfect, but by being together, we all get better. Yeah?